disruption zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
All right, it's the Disruption Zone. Boy, did I have a great time at the Trump rally. I went out to Colorado and covered the Trump rally on a freelance basis for KHOW 630 in Denver. And that is a blue state, people. And the crowd was incredible. There was the arena was Broadmoor World Arena in Colorado Springs, and it holds 8,000 people. Well, it was packed to capacity, and outside was probably another 8,000 waiting that we're not going to get in, that we're going to have to watch it on the Jumbotrons in 20-degree weather. Welcome to the Disruption Zone. I am Leland Conway. This is a fun one because I had a good time covering this event and talked to a lot of the people in the crowd, both outside and inside the venue, and we also got an opportunity to sit down with Kayleigh McEnany, the National Press Secretary for President Donald Trump. So you'll hear from her later in this episode. But I just wanted to give you a little insight into the crowd because, again, this is a blue state that is overwhelmingly blue because there's a lot of people moving there from California. But yet the enthusiasm on the Republican side of the aisle for President Trump is through the roof. Now, there's a couple of considerations locally there. Colorado Springs is being considered for Space Force. It's a huge military town. There's four different military bases in town. And it's also a very conservative town considering its size. There's about 600,000 people there. And for a 600,000 person town, it's very conservative. They have a Republican county sheriff who is basically declaring it to be a sanctuary county for Second Amendment. And there's a lot of Christian ministry organizations located there, Focus on the Family, Compassion International, many more that are focused there and headquartered there. So there's a huge influence of conservatism in that city. But what you'll hear here as I bring in these conversations I had with people is that they were from all over the state, different parts of the state. And they came and stood in that 12-degree weather. Some of them camped out the night before to see the president speak. So let's get into it. We'll start with Leslie, who I met first. She had been there since 4 a.m. in the morning, and she was just as fired up as you can get, totally decked out in American flag pants and shaw, and she was ready to talk.
All right, guys, I am here with Leslie, who is, let's see, when did you get in line this morning?
4 o'clock.
What, 4 o'clock this morning you got in line?
Yes, we stayed all night at a hotel, and we pulled our truck up and got in line at 4 o'clock.
Perfect. Where are you from?
Thornton.
Thornton, okay. So you drove down last night, got a hotel. Are you excited about this event?
Oh, my gosh. Look at me.
I love your pants. You've got the American flag pants.
Yes.
You're all decked out. It's great.
Yes. I'm so excited about this.
Have you been to a Trump rally before?
No.
No? It's quite an experience. What do you hope you hear tonight from the president?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, everything he says is amazing pretty much. Let's see. What do I want to hear from him?
As a Coloradan, what's most important to you in the 2020 election?
That we become a much more conservative country.
Do you think Trump has a chance to win Colorado? What do you think will put him over the top in Colorado, being that it's a blue state right now?
Keep coming back. I think he needs to just keep coming back. I mean, look at what he's got just down here in Little Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I saw the line. It's amazing. I couldn't get it all in the picture.
Yeah. So, and it's just Little Colorado Springs, and it's a small arena. Only 8,000 people fit in here. So he needs to keep coming back and coming back. And
well, I hope you have a great time tonight. It's nice to meet you.
It's very nice to meet you. You said Leland?
Leland, yes.
Leland.
All right, have a great day.
You too. I wish I...
She could have gone on forever, and she was like, come back to our place where we're camping out. Come out. Come hang out with us. She was fantastic. Also, the crowd, I thought, was more diverse than you would expect from what the mainstream media paints about them. There were people there of all races and all backgrounds, and in fact, I talked to them, some of them, and some of them were actually young, quite young. Here's a couple of guys, one of whom was 40 but didn't look 40, but you'll find out why in just a couple minutes. He was a great guy, and his friend was 18 and just turned 18, and this is going to be his first election to vote in.
All right, here we are, guys. I'm out here with a couple of Trump voters. These are the younger end of the spectrum because everybody thinks Trump voters are like 85 years old. Turned 40?
Yeah, I just turned 40.
Nah.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I don't look like that.
And how about you?
Asian don't raisin.
I just turned 18 about a month ago. I just registered to vote this morning. So
awesome. So this will be your first presidential election.
First presidential election. It's going to be the biggest landslide in history.
You think so?
Oh, amen.
How do you feel about Trump's chances here in Colorado?
Amazing. Denver, Boulder, Golden, those are all fairly liberal, but Colorado Springs is just as big as Denver, getting close to it, and we're mostly conservative for the most part. And just seeing the thousands of people here today gives me a lot of hope.
Line's incredible.
That's amazing.
Really incredible.
I've been here since 5:30 in the morning. So,
what do you think puts Trump over the edge here in Colorado? Some people are predicting he could possibly win the state.
Oh man, landslide. You know, definitely.
What pulls you to him?
Everything, brother. Everything. He sticks to his word. He kept promises.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's gonna do it.
What do you guys hope to hear from him tonight?
Just the same confidence that he always has in every single one of his rallies.
The usual, man.
Have either of you been to one of his rallies before?
Oh yeah, I went to the one on UCCS four years ago.
Yeah. He's actually a funny guy in person.
That was great.
This is my first one.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys have a great time.
All right.
Give me a real quick Trump cheer.
Hey! Trump 2020 and 2024.
Now, one of the things I notice about the crowds when I go to these things, because I've covered several, is the media paints them as mean old racists. When in fact, and I was deeply involved in the Tea Party from the very beginning, and I remember the atmosphere at those events, and it was, they painted us at that time as being these old white racists. It wasn't. The crowds were diverse, the crowds were friendly, and it was like a party atmosphere, and that's very much what we saw at this rally. In fact, I was sitting in the press pool and I saw this lady with this huge red foam cowboy hat that said Make America Great Again. And I was like, I have to talk to that woman. Well, it turns out her and her friend, it was Karen and Nancy. Nancy thinks the president's hot. Karen just loves to wear the hat and said she'd wear it anywhere.
All right, I am here kind of in the bottom bowl of the Broadmoor Arena, and I have found Karen and Nancy. Is that right? Karen, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Karen has the world's largest cowboy hat on, and on top of it, it says, Make America Great Again. So, where did you find this hat? This is a great cowboy hat, and I'm posting pictures on my social media, by the way. So
online. My daughter did.
Your daughter found it?
I believe on Amazon.
I dare you to wear that at Chapel Hills Mall.
Oh, not a problem. I'd do it. I do it in a heartbeat.
I love it.
Along with my shirt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, your shirt says, Make Liberals Cry Again, yep. Trump 2020. Okay, so is this your first Trump rally?
Yes.
What do you expect today?
I just want to see a lot of support for him.
Well, you saw the line outside.
Oh, yeah.
What time did you get here?
I got here at 7.
7 this morning?
Yes.
I talked to a lady who got here at 4 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
As cold as it is out there.
Yes, it was cold.
Bernie Sanders was campaigning here in Colorado last week. He's in favor of banning fracking.
No.
How do you think that will play with Colorado voters, even though it's a blue state?
Well, they're doing a lot of fracking here, though.
Yeah.
So my son-in-law, that's what he does.
Right.
He does a part of that.
Do you think that issue could hurt Bernie if he's the nominee?
I think anything that comes out of Bernie's mouth hurts Bernie.
Nancy, let me ask you, what drives your support of President Trump?
I think he's hot.
That is, I have interviewed a lot of people about Trump support. That's the first time I've ever heard that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but
I'm in love with him.
That's
I've always
awesome.
Been in love with him, and I just love what he's doing for the country.
Do you think he could turn Colorado red this fall?
I sure hope so.
What do you think he has to say or do in Colorado to convince most Coloradans to vote for him?
Deport all the liberals.
Send them back to California?
Oh, yeah. I'm from California.
Oh, perfect.
Left
it. Okay.
The best thing about California.
California refugee.
No, best thing about California is seeing it in my rearview mirror.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, it's nice to meet both of you. Thank you all for joining me.
Thank you.
And then there were some people in the crowd that were very well versed on policy and why they supported President Trump. Woodland Park is a town up in the mountains, about 30 minutes out of Colorado Springs. And I talked to one man named Tim who had driven down from Woodland Park in order to see the president. And he knew exactly why he supported the president.
Just wanted to ask you a little bit about this line. What time did you all get here this morning?
I got here at about 11 is all.
Okay.
So.
Well, that was moving pretty quick.
Yeah,
what do you think of the crowd here so far?
It's amazing how many people here and how many people are still coming.
Have you been to a Trump event before?
Never have.
Never?
So this is,
what do you expect?
Well, it should be exciting from what I've seen on TV. It's a lot of excitement, a lot of positives.
Yeah.
So that's good.
What motivates you to vote?
Oh, I'm a hunter, and I'm a pro-hunt person, and so I want my rights to be able to still do that and hold guns and defend myself. So,
do you think, and I've been asking everybody this question, do you think Trump has a chance to win in Colorado the way things are politically right now?
Well, I it's a good chance.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a good chance. I mean, Colorado is typically Democrat.
Right.
I mean, I'm a teacher. I'm one of the few that are Republicans and not a Democrat, so...
kind of outside the stereotype a little bit there.
Yeah, so I hope he can. I think it'd be great if he could, because what he's been doing for the economy and for jobs and for everything that he's implemented in his short 3-year term, it's better than anybody else has done.
Yeah.
So stock market's going great, and so yeah, I want to vote to make sure that we continue to have this.
What do you think he could say to maybe somebody who's on the other side of the aisle to convince them in Colorado?
Well, I think you need to get rid of the fake news and look at the facts.
Yeah.
Look what he's actually done and accomplished. You know, you can hate him for his tweets and you can hate him for his comments, but reality is he's getting the job done.
Yeah.
And he's getting the junk out of D.C., so, you know, and so clearing out the swamps, I guess. And so I would just say, hey, just look at the views of it and see what you want. You know, if you vote for Bernie, there goes everything.
Right.
I mean, you know, there goes your medical, there goes your retirement, your taxes are going to go sky high. So, you know, you got to come out and vote. Whether you like Trump or not, I mean, he is the best candidate at the moment.
Tell me your name again.
Tim.
Tim, and where are you from?
I'm actually from Woodland Park and
teaching
in Colorado Springs.
Awesome. Good to meet you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So you can see a cross-section there of the folks that were coming to this event. And again, the atmosphere was friendly and helpful. And I had a blast, except for the 10 or 15 minutes that the president wanted to turn his ire and the crowd's ire on the media, because we're standing in the bullpen and they don't know who we are and they're yelling at us. But, you know, some media take that as, I felt threatened. I didn't at all. In fact, I felt more like family teasing each other. It was really cool. The president went on and on for about 2 hours. It was probably the longest speech I've ever seen him give. He was way off script the vast majority of the time, and he was brilliantly working the crowd and playing to the local sentiments. Also, I'll say this before we get into this interview with the president's press secretary. Vice President Mike Pence gave the best speech I've ever heard him give. I've always thought there's no way he could be president. I mean, he's a nice guy. I was like, there's no way he could be president because he can't command a crowd. He has a commanding physical presence, but when he talks, generally you think of him as more demure and a little less commanding and a little more stiff and rigid. He blew the roof off. His speech was about 35 minutes long. It was better than the president's. It was powerful. He commanded the room. He had a commanding presence. He had a commanding voice. He had a commanding presentation. And I thought, that's rather interesting, you know, 2024. Anyway, all right. I got an opportunity to sit down and speak with the president's national press secretary, Kayleigh McEnerney. And she's fantastic, and I enjoyed chatting with her. So I just want to play that conversation for you so you hear what the Trump campaign's thoughts are on what all is going on in some of these blue states like Colorado, but also across the country.
All right, here at the Trump rally with Kayleigh McEnerney. She is, of course, the national press secretary for President Trump.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
President Trump's been traveling a lot lately, and it's kind of interesting that he's going to places that it seems like the Democrats just had something right before that. Is that planned?
Not necessarily. I mean, yes, we are tracking. It seems that way, but we're also tracking an election.
Right.
You know, we were in Iowa. We had a rally there. There was an Iowa caucus. We were in New Hampshire. There was a New Hampshire election. And yes, President Trump is the foregone victor in any of these races. But nevertheless, we go to show up. It's a chance to exercise our organizational muscles. On Nevada, there won't be caucuses, notably on the Republican side. But nevertheless, we show up. Nevada is a swing state. It's an important state. It's one that we think is winnable this time around. And so that's why we're there.
Do you, just this last week...
And Colorado, I should note as well.
We
believe it's winnable, which is why we're here.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you about. Bernie Sanders was here just last week. He drew a good large crowd. But he also is on the record as saying he wants to ban fracking, which is a major part of Colorado's economy, despite the blue tint to the state. Do you think that's maybe a major factor in where President Trump could potentially flip Colorado into the red?
I think absolutely. That's a key issue. It's fracking. It's when you look at all the Democrat field, Joe Biden included, you know, the so-called moderate, they want to ban fossil fuels. And that's tons and tons of jobs, fracking tons and tons of jobs, important here in the state of Colorado. Telling people that you're going to take their jobs away from them tends to not be a winning campaign strategy. See Hillary Clinton, who said she was going to put coal out of business.
Right.
Didn't quite work out. President Trump won West Virginia handedly. And I think, of course, it could be key here in the state of Colorado to say you ban fracking.
Is there a candidate, I don't know if I'll actually get you to answer this question, but is there a candidate on the Democrat side you guys would rather face?
No, we're asked that every day.
I know, I'm trying.
And we always say the same thing, which is that we believe that this is a socialist organism, one socialist organism with many heads. Whether it's, you know, Bernie or Biden, they're just different ways of saying the same thing. Bernie outright says, I'm a socialist. Biden says, oh, I'm not that, but I believe in a public option for health care, which would crowd out and eliminate employer-provided health insurance. So, you know, whether it's Buttigieg, Medicare for All, or Medicare buy-in, that's what he calls it, you know, they all would take you to the same endpoint, which is less choice, more expensive care, you can't keep your doctor, the same sort of things we saw before President Trump took over.
Do you find it fascinating, though, like, for instance, from my perspective, Bernie Sanders surging to the front now battling with this newcomer, this billionaire, which I thought Democrats hated.
Yeah.
But he surges to the front, and now you have people like Chris Matthews on MSNBC literally flipping their lid going, wait, yeah, we want free markets. I'm like, where did that come from? Do you find it fascinating that there's almost seems to be a little bit of a fear on the Democrat side that Bernie might actually win the nomination? And what do you make of that?
Look, there's a fear among the Democrat establishment. They want to disenfranchise Bernie supporters. They don't care where the votes go. They want to decide and crown and coronate whoever the nominee should be. They stole it from Bernie the first time around, gave it to Hillary Clinton. It appears they're trying to do the same this time. And I think that they just have a personal disdain for Bernie. You know, you had Hillary outright say, people don't like him, so therefore we will still steal the election and not count the vote of the American people, or in this case, of Democrat primary voters.
What do you think, or what does President Trump think of Michael Bloomberg's sudden surge on the left?
We don't think about it. I mean, look, we laugh at it. He had a disastrous performance last night in the debate. That was very clear. It was a pummeling. He did not have a good performance. He couldn't answer basic questions. All the controversy swirling around him from his remarks, horrible, horrible remarks to female employees, allegedly telling one pregnant female employee, kill your baby, kill it, is where it was his quote, kill it. Yeah, incredible. That's an allegation in the Washington Post, along with many others. So, look, he's got a lot of problems on his hands. He's got to address those. And on top of all that, he's got to address his disastrous debate performance.
President here in Colorado, and we've talked a little bit about the fracking thing. Colorado is a state, though, that seems to be a haven for people leaving California, so it's getting bluer. How does the president combat that, and why is he targeting this state? What does he see in this state that he believes he's got a chance to turn it red?
Well, he sees that he's created 180,000 jobs here. That median household income in the state of Colorado has gone up by, on average, $3,300. That 60,000 residents have been lifted out of poverty. He sees all of this success, and he knows that, yes, even if there are California residents fleeing the disastrous policies there but coming to Colorado, that they'll see the success that is happening across Colorado, and that we'll win over. We'll have conference. We'll have Democrat conference, which we do have routinely at rallies. About a quarter of those who attend are Democrats.
What do you make of the states, Colorado being one of them, that have voted to give their electoral votes to the winner of the popular vote? You could almost see a scenario where the reverse of what happened last time happens this time, or that Trump wins the electoral and the popular. But when you have states that are saying, we're going to go against the will of the people in our state to match what we think is this weird amalgam of a Democratic vote nationwide, I mean, what does the president think of those tools that the left seems to be deploying to try to, you know, affront maybe a potential second electoral victory or something?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy, but that's the Democrats. They rigged the election. Look, they rigged it against Bernie in 2016. You had the head of the DNC have to resign the night before the convention, amid a recognition that there was this rigging of the system. And now we see it again at bay in the Democrat primary yet again, where Bernie Sanders didn't get to have his victory night in Iowa because Democrats conveniently messed up their results.
Right.
Where they're talking about superdelegates. You know, I'm not surprised that a party that has these, you know, rich party elitists as superdelegates or individuals that they just find to be publicly prominent enough to call a superdelegate, that these individuals should determine the election and the outcome and not their voters. You know,
right.
That's the party we're dealing with, and so I'm not surprised they're trying antics nationwide.
I've covered several of these events in different parts of the country. There were people camping out here last night. I met a woman who was here since 4 a.m. It was 12 degrees last night. What is the president going to say different than maybe his other rallies to this crowd here in Colorado tonight?
You know, I never get ahead of the president's remarks, so we'll leave it to him as to exactly what he says. But, I mean, it's safe to say you're going to hear about the soaring economy. It's safe to say you're going to hear about health care, how the president's protecting pre-existing conditions, bringing down the cost of health care, and giving more health care choice. I'm certain you'll hear about those things, but I'll leave it to the president to decide what else.
Do you guys in the press office ever get nervous when he goes off script? Because it seems to be when he's at his best, too, though.
We love him going off script. He speaks directly to the American people and is real and authentic, and people recognize that.
Great talking to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
All right, there you go. Just a short special edition on my trip to Colorado to cover the Trump rally in Colorado Springs. It was fun. I had a great time. The president is clearly going to states where the Democrats have big events. Bernie Sanders had just campaigned in Colorado, and he had been standing on his promise to end fracking, which is a huge part of Colorado's economy, which you heard there in that interview with Kaylee. And the president took full advantage of that during his speech. And he's going to places where the Democrats have big things going on, and he's stealing their thunder. What I don't think the Democrats get about President Trump is that he is the ultimate showman. Everything is a show. And until they and he doesn't take himself too seriously with regards to that. And the Democrats are out there taking themselves very seriously. The president did a whole bit on being presidential and how they say he's not presidential. And he did this whole thing where he's playing it up, grabbing both sides of his coat, saying, "It's very easy to be presidential." You know, he did this whole bit. It lasted like 3 minutes on that. And then he said, I'm just me. And the Democrats will never get that because they have to lie to convince people to follow their policies. So they're too busy covering up their lie to actually be real people. You know, like anybody can believe that Elizabeth Warren wants to sit around and have a beer. "Get me a beer. You want a beer? Hey, honey, you want a beer? I'll get you a beer." Right? Nobody believes that. She doesn't live like that. She has somebody go get her beer for her. Better yet, she doesn't even drink beer. She drinks wine and eats cheese. So anyway. All right, that's it for me today. Big thanks to my co-executive producer, Cameron Mills, to Dynamics Productions and Dynamics Audio. It's dxaudio.com for their production help with the Disruption Zone. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at Zone Disruption and at Leland Show. And on Instagram, it's at Great Lelando and at The Disruption Zone. So check us out. Download us on Google Play and Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are found. Thank you for listening to The Disruption Zone. Keep it real.